Casual Anime Podcast. I'm your usual host, Frederick, and joining me, as he always does, is Karsten.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Karsten. Are you ready to join me in this maybe spectacular, maybe completely unspectacular train ride?
I mean, it's got to be better than the Cabaneri of the Iron Fortress.
Well, that really started out strong, if you remember.
Yeah.
It had a banging OP. It's one of my favorite OPs of all time, music-wise at least.
It's, I think we did an episode about it a couple of years ago.
So, yeah, I mean, be sure to check that out. The work they put into the first episode, not to get too sidetracked here, is absolutely amazing. And you should only watch the first two episodes of Cabaneri, but yeah.
I mean, anyway. Yeah. I think it was between Attack on Titan Season 1 and 2 that MAPPA... which studios did Cabaneri?
Yeah, I think it was the Attack on Titan studios, yes. That does explain a lot. They did the steampunk thing in between.
Yeah.
And then it fell apart. But anyway, Tonikaku. Mugen Train of the Demon Slayer variety.
Yeah. So. I mean, we did a piece on the first season.
Yeah, and that was long, right? That was over
24, 20 episodes. 25? Yes.
Something like that. And now I think it's gotten a little more formulaic, I think. We find the demon, and that's an arc. And we find another demon, and that's another arc. Or is that not how it's going to... I know you've read the manga. Maybe it's not going to be like that forever.
Yeah, I completed the manga when... Yeah, some time ago. And no spoilers for me, but yeah.
It might just follow the formula of one demon per arc.
No, we're gonna do another episode later about the second season. So yeah, I'm gonna maybe elaborate more there.
Okay. Well, that sounds great actually, because I was deathly afraid that it's gonna be like a 6-1, like one arc per upper level demon or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, the characters evolved so fast, and they got mixed in with the Hashiras, the top level demon slayers, so fast that you couldn't really do it another way.
Well, I guess not. But our boys are also talented, though, so they're gonna be Hashiras in no time, right?
Yeah,
maybe. Okay. Anyway, to sum up, last we saw of them, they had defeated the lower level demon Rui, the family crazy guy, and basically they've been healing up until now, I think. And
yeah, training.
Yes, healing, training, and. Tanjiro has gotten like a hint of, oh, maybe this guy has the same powers as you have, the fire breathing. So they send him after the flame Hashira, Renguko, and he happens to be on the train. Is that how it happens? I think that's how it happens.
Yeah, I mean, the manga kind of goes a little further, and I also think the episodes they released covers a little more backstory about how the thing happened. I think,
yeah,
it's,
but they hadn't met him before this, right? Or maybe briefly.
They met him during the meeting. They
had, okay, yeah.
To find out if Nezuko is.
All of them were present, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
So it's not like a thing where in One Punch Man there's one guy you don't see of the top brass king. The ranked number one king,
last, right?
You know.
No, last, not king. King is number seven. It's... King is the one who is taking credits for all Saitama's deeds.
Yeah, isn't he number
king
one?
King is the awesome guy.
Yeah,
mega buff, but he's a gamer like us.
Yeah. Sidetrack there, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, train episode, not in training, but basically just a train on tracks. And yeah. Of course, there's a demon on the train, not snakes on a plane. First impressions of this episode, it's like only probably just spans a couple of hours. Was it worth having a film of all of this?
It depends who you ask. It was one of the highest grossing movies, anime movies ever made. I think the fans got what they wanted.
Yeah, but from a later very cynical standpoint, do you think?
I mean, it's a cash cow, obviously. It's
talents could have been utilized for something else, maybe.
No, I think they have cracked the code, you could say.
Okay, yeah, well, that's fair.
I think maybe there's another movie in the works. I'm not really sure. I mean, season two could probably be a movie. If they tried.
Yeah, I don't actually know what makes more money, movies or anime.
I would guess movies.
Maybe easier to monetize.
Yeah. I think, and also the cinemas cash in for that.
But I mean, all pandemic and all of that stuff, everyone took a hit. So I'm not really sure, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah, of course, the pandemic. Hopefully, we're done with that.
Yeah, I hope we can be sensible from here on out, and we can go places. But I don't think we should go into that anymore.
No. I mean, the movie covers 15 chapters of the manga, so...
That's quite a lot, actually.
Roughly around there.
Yeah, because I was going to say this is slow-paced, but then I... no spoilers yet. I watched the next arc, and that's maybe even more slow-paced, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's difficult to criticize this for being slow-paced when... it had to have this conclusion, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, technically, the season 2 had 27 chapters of the manga adapted, so...
So yeah, let's get to the star of the show. The guy they've been chasing to get onto this train. Renguko, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He's a blonde, I basically just call him lion-maned guy. He has a...
Blonde fiery.
Yeah, he has a hair like sunrise or sunset. He's extremely good looking, and he oozes big brother energy.
Yeah, and confidence. It's...
He is extremely honest, very simple. I think he's pretty simple-minded, and... He's basically
Tanjiro could see himself in him.
Yes, and I think every one of them, of our three boys, as different as they might be, immediately took to him as a mentor figure. And that was kind of the point of him as well. Yeah. He was the mentor figure that they were lacking. And... spoilers now. It's a shame they only got to know him for a few hours.
Yeah. Spoilers, yeah. I mean, the guy literally becomes a donut. So.
Yeah. He went on to the end. He fought hard. But in the end, apparently, humans have no chance against the top-level demons. I think that's
Yeah.
a little strange. I mean, what's even the point of this demon hunting corp if they've never even managed to make a dent in Muzan's army?
Yeah. I mean, we're getting to the core of the crux, the plot. It's more elaborated in season two.
One thing I think we should address before we get onto the train, literally. Does the demon hunters have like some kind of authority in society? Because why couldn't they just board the train, like flash their demon hunter thing and oh sorry, and then board the train?
No, they try to be as invisible as possible.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was maybe the instructions, okay. But are they recognized in society as
I don't think many people recognize them. You see, towards the end of the movie, when Tanjiro goes on the hunt for for a demon, and I think it's at the end of the movie. I'm not quite sure, or if it's in the series. He takes a demon out, and someone hears him, and he vanishes with the corpse and the blood and everything.
I remember that vaguely. It was in a barn or something like that.
Yeah, but.
That's right. And I think
But people know that something's going on because so many people are disappearing everywhere. But they don't really know the real problem behind these events.
so there's no like cooperation between the police and the demon hunters.
No. Well, I guess to some extent, but not that we see
Yeah, because I didn't
visible.
actually check this like historically, but I think they're in the period where carrying swords is banned. So that's why they have to hide their swords. But I mean, obviously, how can you hide a katana? I don't
Yeah.
understand how they hid their katanas.
I thought this was based in the 1980s when Michael Jackson was on stage.
Okay, really? Oh, wait. Muzan. Oh, I get it.
Muzan,
Yes, yes, yes,
yeah.
yes.
It's a joke.
Yeah, and he's a child too. That makes sense. Later,
Yeah,
later, yes.
later.
But anyway, let's get onto the train now.
Yeah. So, you're sitting on the train, you hand your ticket to this not conductor but ticket controller guy, and you just fall asleep when your ticket is punched.
Yeah, there's so
It's
many weird powers in this world.
yeah. But then again, it's wouldn't you want that when you board a train?
Yeah, but I mean, yes, I would like to sleep the entire train journey, that's fair. But I mean, how can you safeguard against anything if everyone has this weird power?
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of like I think they gave him give him a little too much agency, this first demon. Because he's even able to put the Hashira to sleep.
Yeah.
And the implication is that he's killed so many demon slayers before this, and suddenly all four of them are able to break his spell. That's just strange, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, they do a really good explanation of why this is possible and why this is working. Because the demon is so far away, they can't really smell him or sense him. And he uses humans that wants to be put to sleep to see their beloved ones that have died or gone missing. Using them to lure these people into the train and. Or not lure them into the train, but lure them into sleep. So it's quite clever to to go out of his way to. I mean, even take out the Hashira.
But like, basically, this is like an excuse to give us like a backstory or give us like the mental thought process of all of these characters. And I think that is actually well done compared to every fight scene where we get it extremely narrated what everyone is thinking in every single moment. What do you think about that? Because here we get like the, I mean, the rationale, like how Tanjiro has to kill himself to get out of this, or to leave his family behind, because the only way he can actually be with the remainder of his family is to kill himself from the family in his dreams.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was it was great in a way, because you show how Tanjiro is evolving. Is cutting loose his sadness of his family, and you see at the start he wants to be with them and wants everything to go the normal way, and as we get further in, he notices this is a dream, and he has a goal and a mission. And the mission is to stop the family's killer, or the main villain.
Yeah, so, and he realizes Nezuko is his family.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she is most important, so. And, I mean, she didn't do too much in this film, considering she just unearthed massive powers in the last fight, I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, she basically just protected like one carriage, I think.
Yeah, one carriage, and she also helped sever the ropes connecting them to the intruders in their world, hunting for their spiritual cores.
And then they fight the train demon. What do you think of the hentai train demon?
I mean, is it a cliche? The tentacle monster. You know, the only gripe I have with the show or the movie is the badly CGI tentacles. It's... I mean, they probably had such a big budget that this isn't necessary. They could have drawn it. They could have made it much smoother. And
I think they could have made it much smoother. I think what the train lacks is weight. I didn't see any weight in the train. Like a train is heavy; it has momentum. I thought that was a little missing, but I mean. It's possible, I guess. But anyway, I think what is strange is that if he has merged with the train, did he just do that right now? Because it seemed like only one or two people had disappeared from trains earlier. Or had the entire train disappeared those previous times. I don't believe that's possible.
No, you would assume... Because I think he would have
been way more powerful if that would have been the case.
Yeah, and way more demon slayers would have come searching for this. So you would do well to pluck out one or two or three out of the pack. And...
Yeah, what is this with like tentacle demons? Is it only if they're able to like make epic sword fights where they're fighting multiple things at once? Is that the point of demons with multiple, tentacles, belts, arms?
I don't think that's the real intention, but it's definitely a way for Ufotable to to show off their animation skills, at least, because the at least when they're fighting it, it's very good, or very good done. So.
All right, but of course, the train demon is just the sideshow of this show. Because Upper Third shows up. But why does he show up? Does he say?
It's because you see it towards the end or in the start of season two that Muzan has directed him to take the life of the four demon slayers that was on the train, because he sensed them at their presence in the train, and he was also out searching for this blue spider lily flower. Yes. That's I mean, it's you could is probably weird,
though, because
you could, I mean, probably guess what the flower is for.
I think
what's
I
it for?
I think I can guess. Either it's like an antidote or it's like a poison. Who knows?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
So, not to speculate too much, but I don't really get Muzan, because he's like, he has a hit out on Tanjiro, he hates the Hashira, and he has a hit out on Nezuko. I mean, make up your mind.
Yeah. And Muzan is so powerful, why didn't he just deal
with himself? Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's been a thing that's come around. I mean, of course, it's the plot of the anime. Of course, they can't do it like that. But if you just kill off all the younglings like Anakin, you would cripple the organization.
Yeah. I mean, that would make it really 18 plus, I think. Going from slightly 18 plus to very 18 plus. And I mean, I guess that's fine, actually.
I mean, that's what an intelligent person would do if they were faced with this plot.
So he sends Akasa. He's like a fists guy. What's it called? Tao Jitsu, maybe? I don't know.
Taijitsu, yeah.
Taijitsu, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like Rock Lee or...
Of course, our boy Rock Lee. I mean, we're... never forget.
I mean, he's probably the most famous... Mike Kai.
But he actually doesn't seem like a very... As demons come, he doesn't seem like a super bad guy. I don't know.
He's kind of sympathetic. He kind of wants Rengoku to join him, to keep the fight going for years to come. Because they were so equal in strength and power.
He's not concerned that if he makes a super strong person a demon, they're going to take his place, though.
No, it's...
I mean, what's going to happen, basically, is if they make a too strong a person a demon, he's going to destroy Muzan, right?
No, I mean, probably elaborated further on elsewhere. I don't know if it's been... I think it's been mentioned in season one that the more blood you drink from or get from Muzan, the...
Yeah, but he's not patient zero, is he? He must have been demons before Muzan.
No, Muzan is the original one.
Okay, oh, that's interesting.
I mean, they go into the whole thing about it in season one.
So maybe Nezuko is the one who's going to destroy Muzan. I hope so. Let's see. I do think her powers are a little cheap, though. It's like no blood drinking, and suddenly I'm powerful.
Yeah. I mean, you can't have that going. you wouldn't be human if you drank blood.
Sure, sure.
Ah, maybe.
But basically what we get is the best fights, I think. This is the only fight worth watching. The one with Rengoku and Akaza.
Yeah.
It's Fists of Fury.
I mean, it's ufotable, so you know the animation and the artwork is stellar. It's 10 out of 10.
And it's like a lot of steps to the fight as well. It's like, oh,
yeah.
He goes either direction and then...
And they have this brilliant backstories lodged in between.
And basically, the theme of the fight is that damage is permanent if you're human.
Yeah.
So, Asaka can heal any hit he takes. But he only needs one, opening to cripple Rengoku. And he's gonna get more and more handicapped as the fight goes on.
Yeah. It's
kind of like Tyrion versus the chairman.
Netoro. Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's the perfect thing to compare it to. Meruem didn't want to fight, but Akaza wants to kill these people. Netero was the terrorist.
yeah, sure. But in this like damage is permanent universe, I think someone has a neck vein fetish in this universe. What do you think?
Neck vein, yeah.
There's a lot of veiny people in this universe, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, Inosuke probably is the veiniest on the team three, at least.
I mean, demons get super veiny when they turn demony, and demon slayers get super veiny when they exert themselves, so yeah. I think there's definitely like a vein fetish here.
Probably maybe done some bodybuilding, maybe.
Oh, maybe. He's like sick of the sumo wrestling and
yeah,
gotta have that bodybuilding instead. Yeah.
Sumo is done. Time for pumping the iron.
So yeah, I think kind of like inevitably Rengoku is only human.
Yeah.
He has to lose. This is upper free, after all. They can't kill off an upper free already, I think.
No, that would be... Yeah, I mean, it's only 1, 2, 3 then, you know, and then it's only 1, 2, 2 left, and then Muzan, so...
Yeah, but he kind of gets...
a compelling story.
He gets the moral victory, though. He saves everyone, and he gets him to run away, so...
Yeah, I mean, Tanjiro really gets the moral victory while shouting coward as Akaza runs away.
He does nothing in this fight, I swear to God.
I mean, he does a little, but... He
does nothing.
Come on. I mean, he's...
Yeah, he's
you can see him evolving.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. He destroys another of his swords.
Yeah. It's it's becoming a habit, yeah.
So yeah.
I mean we have to talk a little bit about the sound, music. It's
live with the sound of music. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's just perfect for the movie. It's, I mean, the whole show is just oozes class of Japanese classic Japanese sounds and orchestrations, and Lisa doing the ending is just perfect. One of my favorite anime.
I did actually like the music in Demon Slayer, especially the Rui fights, but that's quite a long ago now.
Yeah,
I mean, there's something about the build up and the hook. It's quite good.
I mean, if you're a fan of shonen and you don't see Demon Slayer, are you really a fan?
Sure, but is Demon Slayer truly shonen? I mean, I know it has the shonen structure.
It's the structure, but probably a little more darker than your usual.
I mean, regular shonen is pretty dark if you bother to actually think over what is actually happening on the panels. People are getting killed all the time in shonen, but I mean, there's something pretty graphic about someone grinding someone's head clean off, like in a long stroking motion. There's something profoundly wrong about that, but yeah, it's 18 plus in some instances, and then it's shonen in all of the rest.
Yeah, it's rated R17 plus. So.
Yeah,
it's. I mean, but the thing about Demon Slayer, if you're talking about the anime instead of the manga, I mean, it just visually does so good with the sword slashes and fight scenes and everything, and also the breathing techniques is just. It's maybe the thing I like the most. If I could only watch a YouTube movie 24 hours of water breathing moves, it. I mean, there you would have my view on that.
Well, that's at least something. Someone should make that probably.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is basically, I think, where the movie ends.
Yeah, I mean, you get some backstory of Rengoku and his father, and and his mother comes when he dies, saying he's done a great job saving the weaker people, weaker than him, so that they could go on to do great things. Classic cliche things.
Yeah, but I mean, Rengoku was basically a flawless gem.
Yeah. He met a too big of a hurdle before he was ready. In a year, or perhaps he would have crushed Akaza easily.
Well, maybe. he seemed pretty young, actually. He was probably just like maybe 18.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years older than Tanjiro, perhaps. Rengoku has been training his whole life to be a Demon Slayer and a Hashira, so he has a little unfair advantage over Tanjiro.
Well, you know, the first Norwegian athletes, right? They were the lumberjacks and those who did manual labor.
Yeah.
So I don't actually think so. I mean,
so you think talent does not outshine hard work?
Well, I think
or being legacy, extremely
endurance is something you call is probably gonna help a lot as well. So, rating wise,
it's an 8 for me. I was hugely impressed by everything except uh, Well, I mean, it sounds when I say this, it sounds mean or bad, but it's an 8 because of the story. I mean, it's not an it's only the fight, you know. That's the most interesting part.
Train Demon isn't really that interesting, actually, when you think about
No,
it.
I mean the techniques he uses and we see how the demon slayers cope with them. It's pretty interesting. But from that, no.
Yeah, I think this is basically just here to build character of our main three.
Yeah, I mean it's
They're gonna lose their senpai, and then maybe they're gonna gain a new senpai, and they're gonna be a little worried next time. Who knows? So yeah, for me, I think it's also probably an 8. I don't think the story is very good. I think they mix up what's their identity, because I mean, if you're 18 plus, or if you're not 18 plus, I mean, maybe just stick to one of them. So, yeah, that is my opinion on that. But I mean, there's faultless animation in the fights.
I mean it's
And
you
it's super
couldn't
sad when Rengoku dies, so they achieved that as well. Everything they set out to achieve, they achieved, but maybe the source material is not good enough.
I think the source material is good enough, but it's more of
Maybe they should have picked a different arc then. I don't know.
I don't think you could do that, but yeah. But I mean it's the movie's done right and it's no forced emotions or something.
Maybe one
It's
they actually win. Maybe arc they win. I don't know.
yeah, we shall see.
Yes, okay.
So you can follow us on the Casual Anime Podcast, Casual Anime Pod on Twitter. Send us questions to our Gmail. It's linked in the episode notes. We are also on Spotify now, so if you would like and follow us there, that would be great.
All right, follow us on Spotify and we'll be right back with the Entertainment District. All right,
Yes.
bye.
Goodbye.